Our next speaker will be Dr. András Vukic, our colleague at the Wigner Research Center for Physics. Let me introduce him briefly. He studied physics at the Loránd Eötvös University in Budapest. He did his PhD at the University of Szeged. His supervisor was Peter Domokos. After finishing his PhD, he had a postdoc position at University of Innsbruck in the group of Professor Helmut Rich. From 2010, he works at the Wigner Research Center for Physics, formerly Wigner Institute, in the group of Peter Domokos. Now he is the head of the Department of Quantum Optics and Quantum Information. He works on several phenomena related to cold atoms trapped in optical cavities. Oh, it's yours.
Okay. So now I can hear myself back also. I'm also grateful for the opportunity to be here. And actually, Hervik's talk was a great introduction to mine. So I can skip most of my introduction. I would just like to emphasize that the dissipative phase transitions are also peculiar in the sense that they can occur in meso or even microscopic systems. So for example, dissipative phase transition was proposed in the open quantum Rabi model, where only a single qubit interacts with a mode. And there is an abstract thermodynamic limit possible where a phase transition can occur. Okay, the first order DPT is a relatively recent concept, but since Hervik has shown examples, I can skip these examples as well. One of them is just Hervik's system, actually. So in first order dissipative phase transitions, there is a bistability region where two macroscopically distinguishable states can coexist. So you can think in analogy to water at 0 centigrade in a certain range of free enthalpy when liquid water and ice can coexist. So how is a DPT different from a quantum phase transition? You have also heard about open system formalism a bit. So quantum phase transition is for closed quantum systems where you have just a Hamiltonian evolution. And you are looking at an eigenstate, typically the ground state, and some changes in the structure of this eigenstate as a function of some dynamical control parameter. And in open quantum systems, as you have heard, there is the Gorini, Kosakowski, Sudarsan, Lindblad master equation for the density operator. With the Liouvillean superoperator, which can also have a dynamical parameter, and you are looking at the steady state density operator of this, and you are looking at abrupt changes in the structure of the steady state, maybe a bistability region as a function of the control parameter. And I just want to mention that Wigner participated also in the theory of open quantum systems. So there is the Wigner-Weisskopf theory of spontaneous emission. So they didn't quite get to density operator formalism and master equations that came only in the 70s. But still, they could describe spontaneous emission. Okay, and one more thing I want to mention in general is that dissipative phase transitions are proposed as metrological resources, similarly to entanglement nowadays. So criticality can also be a metrological resource. And there is a very nice example of single photon detection. So in the optical domain, we know that it's possible to use a thermal phase transition for detecting a single optical photon in these superconducting nanowire single photon detectors, which we have also at Wigner. But this is a bit clumsy because there is a need for a thermodynamic parameter to cross the phase transition point, and this manifests, for example, in the detection dead time, because the after detecting a single photon, the nanowire has to get back to the superconducting state first before detecting the second one. Now, in the microwave domain, the energy per photon is much smaller, so a thermal phase transition is not enough. But instead, microwave photon detection at parametric criticality has been demonstrated very recently. By parametric criticality, they mean a DPT, basically. And it's just a Kerr nonlinear oscillator, basically, that they use in this superconducting circuit platform. Okay, and I'm very proud that actually we were one of the first to propose dissipative phase transition in the form of the self-organization of a Bose-Einstein condensate in a cavity field, and this has been observed in the Esslinger group at ETH. So basically, a Bose-Einstein condensate in a high finesse optical cavity can leave when illuminated from the side. It can leave either in a completely homogeneous state when it where it doesn't scatter into the cavity and feels no potential from the cavity, or it can be in this checkerboard-like density profile, where it strongly scatters into the cavity, and the cavity dipole force stabilizes this configuration. So this is a self-trapped configuration, and between these two, a dissipative phase transition can occur, and there is even a spontaneous symmetry breaking in this case. Okay, the photon blockade breakdown effect has been first described in 2015 by us when we studied a bistability effect in what we called the extreme strong coupling regime of the James Cummings model. So what we were looking at is the spectrum of the James Cummings model in a extreme strong coupling regime. So the frequency versus the drive strength and just the photon number on this plane. And okay, what we see is there are these resonances, so the single photon Rabi peak, multi-photon resonances. But what we were surprised to find is a new peak with very high driving, close to resonance. And when we looked at this with quantum trajectory simulations that you have just heard about also, then we saw that in the time domain, this corresponds to also bistability. And just half a year later, Carmichael came out with this beautiful paper where he already called this a dissipative quantum phase transition in zero dimensions and the breakdown of photon blockade, he called it. So he really presented a great vision of this effect. And okay, I just want to remind you about the James Cummings model. It's really a workhorse in quantum optics. So it's basically just the interaction of a two-level system with a bosonic mode, and they can exchange excitation with a rate G. This is the coupling constant, and then you can turn this into a master equation, very similarly to what Herwig has shown. And here, so you can add such a Lindblad term which describes the loss of photons from the mode. And then you can add some loss processes for the qubit as well, like population decay, phase noise. Okay, so this is the basic model that we are using, and what it turned out that the microscopic mechanism of the of this photon blockade breakdown by stability can be explained in terms of the spectrum of the Jaynes-Cummings model, basically. So what happens is that this coupling G splits the energy levels. So you have above the zero, above the ground state, you have this doublet with separation that scales with G. And these doublets introduce an unharmonicity into the spectrum. So, for example, if you look at this blue subladder, then it turns out that it's okay for very small g. It can be close to a harmonic oscillator, but for increasing g, it becomes more and more unharmonic. And this is the origin of the photon blockade effect. So if you drive this with a drive resonant with the bare subsystem frequencies, then simply there is no state. So you cannot excite from the ground state because there is no state there where you could excite to. On the other hand, if you look at higher lying parts of the spectrum, then you see that they can become closely harmonic. So the difference in level spacing decays with the excitation number. So on this higher lying part, you can basically have something close to a coherent state on one of these subladders. And there you have your bistability. So either you are stuck in the ground state and you cannot even absorb not even a single photon, or you are in this highly excited state, and between these two, some stochastic processes do the switching, which we analyzed also a lot in detail, but I'm not going to go into that now. But basically, if you look at this with quantum trajectory simulations, then you see this very, very beautifully resolved temporal bistability. And it's even from this picture, it's even you can even see that the higher the larger this unharmonicity region is, so the higher your coupling is, the larger the separation of the attractors. So for example, for a small g, you have frequent switchings and not so large amplitude, but on this brown curve, for example, for four times a larger G, you have a huge amplitude, but very, very rare switching events. And basically you can go to a thermodynamic limit by increasing this coupling to infinity. So this is an abstract thermodynamic limit when the physical size of your system doesn't change. So it's just a single qubit with a mode. But the amplitude of this bistability increases, and eventually you get to perfect hysteresis, that is first order phase transition. And we didn't use this language, but actually this relaxation time, so the So this characteristic switching time of the system is just the inverse of the Liouvillean gap that Herwig talked about. And I want to mention that Carmichael already in 91, he has a paper where he basically analyzes the same thing, and he calls it a slow switching eigenvalue. Okay, there is a very, very strange neoclassical theory where you can draw the phase diagram. There is even a critical point of this first order phase transition. This is all very, very interesting. And but I want to tell you about the experimental realizations. So reaching such strong coupling between a two-level system and the mode with a sufficiently controlled system, I would say, is possible today in a circuit QED. So this is the same platform that they use for these digital quantum computers or gate-based quantum computers nowadays. But in our case, this is we only use a single transmon coupled to a microwave resonator, which can either be a strip line or a normal 3D microwave resonator. But the point is that we operate this kind of as an analog quantum computer. So we are not looking to at quantum computation, but this is direct quantum simulation because a transmon coupled to such a resonator can also be described as a James Cummings model in some sense in certain regimes. Okay, so there was the first observation in 2017. And then there was also the idea that this thermodynamic limit of the growing coupling strength could also be modeled. However, we cannot increase the coupling strength in these systems because that comes from fabrication, completely determined by fabrication. But what is possible to change in situ is the COPPA, the loss rate of the microwave cavity, and these can be very, very good cavities. So this G over COPPA going to infinity could be followed over close to two orders of magnitude. As I said, a very, very strong coupling is needed for this kind of physics. And these circuit QED experiments could reproduce all the phenomenology of the photon blockade breakdown. And with this system, with the decreasing COPPA, decreasing cavity loss rate, it was possible to follow this increase of the time scale over seven orders of magnitude. So at the lowest COPPA value, 6 seconds switching time was observed, whereas the slowest characteristic time scale of the system is on the order of milliseconds. So there is four orders of magnitude difference between this characteristic time and the slowest characteristic microscopic time scale of the system. Okay, and we did a lot of quantum trajectory simulations also. They kind of reproduce the trends seen by the experiment, but there are very many open questions still. We could also determine the finite size scaling exponent of the time scale, and it's very, very high. So it's 5.4. Okay, just a few words about our computation technology. So we use C++ QED framework, which has been developed mainly by myself since 2006. And for as a hardware, we use an OpenStack cloud-based virtual cluster, which is the EAKH cloud or Science Cloud. Nowadays, it's called Nowadays. Okay, and I would like to mention as a last word that our group has partially transitioned from theory to experiment since 2016. And nowadays we are in the position to tackle these dissipative phase transitions also in the lab. And recently, we have seen a similar bistability-like effect in the hyperfine ground states of rubidium 87. So when this rubidium is coupled to a high finesse cavity, then a kind of critical optical pumping can occur between these two states, which can be likened to also to a first order phase transition. So we see hysteresis and a kind of a bistability also. And we have just published a paper about this. Okay, I'm not going to read this. I just want to thank you for your attention and thank my collaborators. So with Peter, I think dissipative phase transitions have dominated really our career. These are the circuit QED collaborators, and this is the experimental group at Wigner, and Nikki and Arpi, they are theorists. Thank you very much for your attention.
Thank you for the nice talk. Are there any questions?
I have a rather trivial question. At the very beginning, when you showed the level spacing and then you said, oh, it goes down like n to the minus 3/2, somehow I didn't catch this argument. If you go back at the very beginning.
Yeah.
Why is it n to the minus 1/2? The energy spectrum goes like n to the power 1/2. Why is it minus to the power?
So basically, it's the second derivative of this. So what we are looking for is first of all the level spacing, which is the derivative of this, and then the difference between two adjacent level spacings, which is another derivative, because this describes how harmonic oscillator like the spectrum is.
I'm just wondering whether we just have different semantics of whether this is a dissipative quantum phase transition or just a dissipative phase transition. So I'm wondering about the quantum. So here what I see is we have the nonlinearity kind of for low photon numbers, right? And for high photon numbers, it becomes like an harmonic oscillator.
Yes.
If I think on this optical bistability that I was talking about, it is more like for interactions only matter for high photon numbers. So it kind of becomes nonlinear. The level spacing becomes nonlinear if I go for higher photon numbers, or it becomes more nonlinear there. But in both cases, it is kind of a deviation from a simple harmonic oscillator in different regimes of photon numbers. So I I was just wondering whether when you say this is a dissipative quantum phase transition, then probably the other one is one as well, because or do you see some fundamental differences between the nonlinear Kerr oscillator and this system here?
From what I see is that these terms are synonymous in the literature. So I think dissipation somehow involves quantum. This is what I have seen. So it depends on the author how people use this. And this is a very good question, which we have been thinking about for years. How really to capture the difference between optical bistability and photon blockade breakdown. And I think probably a good answer is that in our case, this bright state is pure, because you are living on a closely harmonic spectrum, and it's just a driven dissipative harmonic oscillator on this part of the spectrum, and the steady state of that is a pure state. And in a optical bistability, normal optical bistability, this high photon state will be a mixed state. I think this is the essential difference. Yeah. It's a coherent state on this blue on the okay, both are blue, but the dark blue sub ladder. But I will show you tomorrow.
Okay, thank you. Any other question? If not, then thanks for the nice talk again.